This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome to Case Closed. This week, like we do every week, we have another hour or so of old-time radio crime. We're going to start things off with gangbusters and the case of the triple threat bandit from December 27, 1947. Then after a quick minute of Believe It or Not, it's Rogues Gallery, an episode titled Murder at Minden from January 3rd, 1946.
Now in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Gangbusters!
Tonight, the case of the triple threat bandits, whose leader used a broom as the principal cover in his subtlest disguise, but learned even that was unable to hide his soiled record.
And now to gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has asked Inspector of Detectives Eugene Bernath, Police Department, Minneapolis, Minnesota, to narrate by proxy tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the triple threat bandits.
Inspector Bernath, I understand the gang in tonight's case thought that a clever sort of disguise would provide them plenty of protection.
That's right, Don Gardner. But they were to learn that fast communication systems and efficient exchange of police information, plus cooperation from federal law enforcement agencies, is making long-range criminal operation less and less successful.
Well, suppose you tell us about tonight's case, Inspector Bernath.
All right, Don. I think it'd be best to start about 6 months ago in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Near the ballpark of the Minneapolis Millers, at a bar patronized by the sporting crowd, a stranger was buying drinks for the few hangers-on remaining late one night. He was just finishing one of his favorite stories as the porter approached with his broom to gather in stray cigarette butts.
Henry says to her, she says back to him, she says, well, I don't like to ride streetcars either. You got some other way to go?
Excuse me, please. I'd like to sweep a little bit under the stool, huh?
Sure. Sweep all you like. When you're finished, I'll buy you a drink.
No, thanks, mister. I never touch this stuff.
Oh, listen to him. He never touches his stuff.
It ain't good for athletes. He used to be middleweight champion of Lazarus County.
Yeah. Well, hey. Hey, Frank. Frank.
Huh? You speak to me?
Frank, how you been? Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm no Frank. I'm Nick. You're mixed up a little bit. Excuse me. There's more cigarette butts over there.
Come on, the guy's punchy. How about another story?
Yeah, in a minute. Hey, Nick. Whatever you call yourself.
Yeah?
I'd swear you're a guy I used to know. A guy named Frank. He wasn't no boxer. Is that right? No kidding.
No kidding.
That's Nick, not Frank. Excuse me, mister.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah?
If you ain't Frank, how come you look so much like him?
You're Frank. He pushes a broom, too?
Ah, he pushes something else.
1118 Walker Street, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Apartment 6.
Sure, Frank. I'll see you.
Nick, 3 o'clock. Excuse me, mister.
Okay, don't lose your head. Who is it?
Me.
Oh, you. Yeah. Just a second, you. Come in, you. Come in.
Where's Nick?
Oh, someplace. Come on, I'll fix you a drink.
I'm not interested in a drink. Where's Nick?
I got rye and scotch and gin and rye and rye. That's all.
I never drink in the afternoon.
Neither do I. But I read in the paper we're having a total eclipse.
Look, lady, just tell Nick that Sino is here. I got a little date with him at 3 o'clock.
Did you say rye?
I said Nick.
Oh, yeah, Nick. Nick and soda or water on the side?
Excuse me, but did anybody ever tell you about orange juice?
Sure. Nick.
Uh-huh. Now we're getting someplace. If you'll just...
Hey, Sino.
Frank.
Come in here until I finish getting dressed.
Oh, goodbye.
Don't drown in that stuff.
Come in, Sino. I'll be dressed in a minute.
Sure, Frank.
Nick.
Okay, Nick. Look, who's the female rum-dum? Yeah, Vicky, if that's her name.
She's my housekeeper.
Okay, say no more. But doesn't that Kentucky ketchup she drinks get in the way of her duties, whatever they may be?
Yeah, she's carrying some kind of torch. She's sober when she has to be.
And what about that routine with a broom? What kind of a gimmick is that?
It's a job. I told the guy I was a fallen gladiator at the rink. Oh, I got a job.
Fine job. Who needs it?
Yeah, you like the shirt. Made to order. $18.
For one?
Now, how many do you think? A dozen?
Gotta have something to wear to work.
Sino, how'd you like a soft spot?
With a broom, no thanks.
I've been tearing this town apart. And St. Paul, too. Back and forth across the river. Liquor stores are a pushover.
Alone?
Mostly. Vicky helps with the driving and the casing when I need it.
She can kill two birds with one store.
Well, how about it?
You think the two of us can do better?
Much better. Than the three of us and the four of us and the five of us. Do better all along. Better and better.
Excuse me, Nick. That's a lot of talk coming from a guy who's right now pushing a broom.
Maybe. But if anybody starts asking questions, a steady job is a nice answer. Also, that tavern's going to be the one big touch before I blow this down.
Yeah, I can see how big. $1.34 and 2 quarts of beer.
You see, you don't know nothing.
Okay, tell me something.
On certain nights, a safe in that joint has got nearly $30,000 in it.
$30,000? In cash?
What do you think, lock washers?
Okay. Where do you get them 18-buck shirts?
Yeah. Gotta wait our moments.
Oh, I can wait. If meantime I got what to eat.
There's still plenty of liquor stores.
Good. Let's try one on for size. Now, tell you what. We can bring your housekeeper back a present.
Inspector of Detectives Minneapolis to Chief of Detectives St. Paul. Liquor store bandit also joined here by number two man of similar description. Two jobs last night.
Are you sober, Vicky?
Yes. You want to do something about it?
Get hold of Sino. Tell him tonight's the night. Safe is loaded.
I wish I was.
Tell him to be at the back door 5 minutes after closing.
5 minutes after closing. I'll tell him.
You be there with the car. Just at the spot we figured.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay. So long.
Nick.
Hey, yes, sir, Mr. Lander.
Let's get the place cleaned up fast tonight. I want to get home as quick as I can.
Yes, sir, me too. Let's get cleaned up fast, huh?
Nick.
Hey, yes, sir, Mr. Lander.
Where are you going?
We just dumped the trash out and back.
Oh, yeah. Well, make it snappy, you know, like it was the 10th round coming up.
Yeah, sure, make it snappy. Everything make it snappy, eh? Yes, sir, snappy.
Lena.
How's it look?
It'll be fine. Now, march me back in there, but you got to make it look good for the boss. Keep your face covered.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick. March.
You're all set on how to handle the guy.
Yeah, and the safe, too.
Okay, Sino. Here goes.
All right, get in there.
Okay, I'm going.
Get those hands up.
Yes, sir, mister.
Hey,
I will.
What's the... Put your hands in the air, mister, and walk over here.
All right. Take it easy.
It's a hold up, Mr. Lennon.
He knows it. Go ahead, walk to the safe, both of you. Go on, walk.
Yeah, I guess we better, Mr. Lennon. Maybe he'd shoot us.
Or worse. Go on.
Now, I don't want a sound out of either of you. I want the dough out of that safe, and I want all of it.
I don't know nothing about safes. Honest, mister,
just
I don't...
walk. Come on, it's killing me. Oh, you don't stand at me.
But I don't...
Wise guy... You should have helped me, Nick.
Quiet.
I didn't figure he'd fight the gun.
Shut up.
He's dead.
Go on, get out of here.
But he's dead.
Might as well get the dough.
How are we going to open a safe? Go on, scram you.
What about the cops?
I'm in the clear. Go on, get out.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see you later.
So, Don, the carefully planned robbery during which Nichols and Sino hoped to get the contents of the safe ended with the shooting of Nichols' employer. Nichols waited for the police to arrive at the scene and told them the story he'd so carefully contrived. But the case suddenly took a fantastic turn, and the gang leader found his plans might very well lead to immediate arrest.
Now back to gangbusters. You were telling us, Inspector Bernath, how the criminal Nichols staged a holdup at the Minneapolis tavern where he held a cover job.
That's right, Don. But the crime took an unexpected turn when Nichols' confederate, Sino, shot the tavern manager. Sino fled the scene, and as Nichols brazenly phoned for the police, Sino returned to Nichols' apartment where he met the girl, Vicky.
Oh, shut up, will you?
What's the matter with you?
Can't you lay off that bug juice for a while? We got troubles.
What's a little thing like murder?
Keep quiet about it. What are you blabbing your mouth off for?
Brother, you need a drink.
It's the last thing I need. Where's the devil they could get here?
So do I. I'm getting hungry.
Where do you keep those matches?
If they were any closer, they'd strike on your nose. The table, they're right on the table.
Thanks. You want a cigarette?
Nasty habit.
Hope Nick's got some ideas. I hope... Is that Nick?
Who else? If he isn't feeling better than you...
Hey.
What?
Just a minute. I'll get it. Nick.
Yeah, come on, open up, will you?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well... We're in for it.
In for it? What do you mean?
Hello, Nick. Did you have fun?
Shut up, will you? What do you mean, Nick? We're in for it.
Lender isn't dead. You kidding? Nick took him to the hospital. The cops told me he might pull through.
Should we feel sorry or glad? Hey, Nick, they don't suspect you, do they?
If they did, do you think he'd be here now?
Nick, if Lender heard us talking, if he ain't dead...
He was unconscious.
But he could have heard us talking if he tells the
cops... I said he was unconscious.
But unconscious people get conscious.
Sometimes it's nicer to be unconscious.
He probably passed out as soon as the shot hit him.
Yeah, but supposing he didn't. Supposing he knew what was going on.
Okay, suppose.
Hey, Nick, we...
We got time.
I want to go now. I want to go quick.
They say Florida is nice this time of year.
Now, look. If I take a powder now, that's like signing a confession. If I stick around, we're all in good shape.
But the guy's bound to wake up. Why take the chance? I'm saying goodbye.
You're staying here as long as I tell you to
but
stay.
Nick,
I heard enough.
So did I.
Hey.
Who's that thingy?
I'll make a guess.
Nick, it's the cops.
Get in the other room.
Yeah, okay. Talk, Nick. Talk fast.
Vicky, sit down and keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Yes? Who is it?
Police officer. Open up.
I see you made it home all right, Nichols.
Yeah. I figured home was the best place.
That's a good way to figure.
Oh, Vicky, this is Detective Olson and Detective...
Wetherill.
Detective Wetherill.
Glad to see you.
Me too.
I just spoke to the hospital, Nichols.
Oh, yeah. How is Mr. Lender? Is he any better?
Much better, Nichols.
Oh, good. I was wishing he would be.
Nice place you've got here, Nichols.
Yeah, it's okay. And like I told you, I was smart. I saved a little from the fight game.
Oh, yeah? What's in there, the bedroom?
Yes, that's the bedroom. What's the doctor got to say about Mr. Lender? Go through that to see him shot down like that.
Must have been pretty rough.
Yeah, rough. That it was rough.
Nichols. We think we might be on the right track of who that gunman is.
Yeah.
We think it's one of the two men who've been holding up liquor stores here and in St. Paul.
I'd sure like to see them caught.
I don't think you'll have long to wait.
Who's this guy? I'd like to get him in a ring or something.
Well, I'll be satisfied when we get him in our ring. Olson, show him that picture.
Sure. Take a good look at this picture, Nichols.
Yes.
Tell us whether that's the man.
Well... Before, the guy had his face covered.
You said that.
Yeah, but the eyes look the same. I'll never forget those eyes.
Thanks.
Come on, Olson, let's go.
Yeah. We'll be in touch with you, Nichols. We can reach you here, huh?
Yeah, yes, sir, here, or at the place, sir.
Well, just so we can reach you. Good night.
Good morning.
We'll be seeing you, Nichols.
Let's go out and run around the block. That wasn't Sino's picture.
Nah, some guy I never seen before.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Sino's right, baby. That was too close. Getting out of here. Let's start packing.
Good. I love to travel.
Mickey.
Yeah, what do you want?
Look around back there and get me the Nebraska roadmap.
Oh.
I think we stay on 77, Nick. That takes us right into Omaha.
I can't find no Nebraska map. Here, take them all.
Hey.
Now let me try to catch a little sleep. I've been up since Tuesday.
Take a look on the map, Cena.
Yeah. You know anything good in Omaha?
Well, there ought to be one or two easy touches there. Knock them off fast, keep on going.
That's the new policy?
Yeah, that's the new policy.
Then where?
Who knows? East, maybe south, maybe Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Maybe we better stay away from Kansas and Oklahoma.
Why?
Vicky won't be very happy in either one of them states. They're both bone dry.
Detective Olson talking.
This is Wetherill. I got news for you.
Yeah? What is it?
I went around to the tavern to give Nichols a look at some more pictures.
And?
And he didn't show up for work tonight.
Would you try his rooms?
I certainly did. He moved out this morning and the janitor said he was in an awful hurry.
Well.
Looks to me like we couldn't see the forest for the trees, Olson.
Yeah.
The janitor said the girl went with him and another guy. And from the description, the other guy looks like the one that did the shooting.
Did you get into the place?
Yeah, it was in pretty much of a mess, but I found one little item to write home about. Come on over and we'll figure out what to do about it. Hello, Pop.
Eh?
Any luck?
Oh, no, no. But I don't fish to catch nothing particular.
Oh?
It's just relaxing.
I see. Well, you mind if I relax a while?
No, no, help yourself. Say, would you like to fish some? Got an extra line?
No, thanks.
You ain't from around here, huh?
Minneapolis, that's not so far.
Oh, Minneapolis, huh?
Yeah.
I ain't been into the city in years. I hear it growed some.
Some. I'm looking for a girl named Vicky Newton.
You ain't looking in the right place, son.
How long ago was it she lived with you and your wife?
Oh, 2 years, I'd say.
You ever hear from her?
Now and then. When she left something with us.
Oh, yeah? What?
A baby.
Oh.
Yeah, a little girl. Hey, sweetest little girl you ever saw.
Well, did she ever come to see the kid?
Since she's been drinking so much and running around with that fella.
What fellow?
Oh, some jailbird from Indiana.
Indiana, huh? His name isn't Nichols.
Something like that, I think. Oh, excuse me, got a bite.
Hey, Nick.
What?
Sino just told me.
So he told you.
What have you been doing, stealing my act and hitting the bottle?
Well, look it.
Why go back to Minneapolis?
Minneapolis owes me something.
Owes you something what, for crying out loud?
I wait much to knock over that tavern when the safe was loaded. And I draw a blank.
You're not going back for that.
We're driving tonight.
You're crazy.
Wouldn't you like to see your kid?
No.
Not much you wouldn't. But suit yourself.
I'll be packed. What time do we leave?
As soon as I get the car gassed up.
Is that the call?
That's it, Wetherill.
Okay, I'll take it here. Detective Wetherill talking. How are you, Pop?
We got a letter from her. Special delivery.
Yeah? What'd you have to say?
Well, she'll be here. Next week, she says. She wants to see a little girl.
Good, good. Pop.
Yeah?
Have you got room to board a couple of detectives for a few days?
Well, we'll make room.
Okay. They'll be up there this afternoon.
Now, back to Gangbusters.
Olson.
Yes?
Nichols is back in town. He and Steno just stuck up the tavern where he used to work.
What?
Yeah, they were recognized by the manager and by both bartenders. And there was a car waiting. It must have been the girl.
You'd better get in touch with the men we've got up in the country. They might be heading that way to see the kid.
I think I'll drive up there myself. How about you, Olson?
Okay, count me in.
Have you got a car, Sina?
Almost. Give me a chance to get through the silver, will you?
You know how to get there, huh, Nick?
Get where?
Where do you think? To see my baby.
I wanted to talk to you about that, Vicky.
Talk? What's there to talk about?
We're not going up there.
What do you think I came all the way back for?
We're not going.
There's nearly 300 in silver alone.
Who cares? Nick, you promised.
That's too bad. I can't take the chance.
You should have thought of that before.
I did think of it before. We're not going.
Maybe you're not, but I am. Let me out of here.
I'm going to Louisville, and you're coming with me.
I am not.
Sit still, or I'll send you someplace you're not looking to go.
Hey, watch where you're driving.
Okay. Don't give me no trouble, Vicky.
Trouble? I couldn't give more trouble than you already got. Louisville, huh? Okay. We'll see how we like Louisville.
Hello, Cena. When'd you come in?
I've been sitting here a while. How is she?
How do you think?
This naked beats me. If you need a dame around, so dump Vicky and get one that ain't a bottle jockey. There's plenty, you know.
She was getting okay. She was laying off the stuff, and when we got back to Minneapolis, she was fine, fine.
She ain't been fine here in Louisville. Oh, I don't mind somebody taking a drink, but if there's something I can't stand, it's a boozer. Especially a female boozer.
Okay.
Hey, you don't think it has something to do with her not seeing her kid, do you?
How do I know? She never talked about the kid.
Should have let her see the kid, you promised.
Don't you start.
Nick.
Yeah?
Look, how about giving Vicky the pitch? Let's leave her and blow.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but it ain't right exactly.
Look who's getting the conscience.
Ought to be coming around soon. Run down to the drugstore. Get a couple of containers of black coffee, will you?
Bring your bromo with it.
Okay. Make it snappy.
Good deal. Take the bad with the good.
Hello, Sino.
Hey.
Take it easy. You couldn't get away if you tried.
Okay, copper. I ain't trying nothing.
Lean up against that wall.
Yeah, you sure?
Hold still.
I ain't carrying nothing.
Nothing on him. All right, Sino. Walk back to Nichols' store.
Oh, now, look.
He said walk. You'll knock, and when Nichols answers, tell him you forgot something.
Yeah, if you say so.
Anybody with him?
Just a dame, but she passed out cold.
Okay, knock.
Oh, I listen.
Go on, knock.
Keep out of sight, Olson.
Yeah.
I thought I sent you for coffee.
I forgot something, Nick.
Crying out loud. Can't you get it through
your... Get him up. Up.
Okay, I'm through.
Now, both of you back up in there. Where's the girl?
She's in there. She's out.
That's too bad. We just wanted to thank her for the letter to a little girl and for mailing it from Louisville.
Well, how do you like that?
You want to know, Sino? We like it fine. Okay, Sergeant. Let's get him going.
That, Don, was how the criminal activities of Frank Nichols came to an end. He and his confederates were returned to Minneapolis and stood trial for robbery. Nichols is now serving 30 years in the Minnesota State Prison, and the others equally appropriate terms.
Well, thank you, Inspector Bernath, for narrating this pointed case history. And Gangbusters, congratulations to Minneapolis detectives Arthur J. Olson and Charles Wetherill, and to all the other law enforcement officers who worked so hard in bringing these criminals to justice. Leading roles were played by Frank Reddick, Mercedes McCambridge, and Ken Lynch. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the truth. This is Ripley. Believe it or not.
A bride in the Matakam tribe in Africa always wears half a pumpkin dyed red as a hat. Then, when she has a baby, the pumpkin is reversed on her head to serve as the infant's cradle. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the Well of Death. The Well of Death, located in the prison of the Seven Towers in Istanbul, was aptly named. It has a long and sorrowful history. Literally thousands of state prisoners who were beheaded by the order of reigning sultans found no final resting place here. After death, their bodies were dropped into the well, which, because of its unusual location, was bottomless. Once dropped into the well, the bodies were always washed out to sea, believe it or not.
F.W. Fitch Company, makers of those fine Fitch products, presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Hello, Richard Rogue speaking.
Hello, Mr. Rogue. This is Stark McVeigh in Minden, California.
Yeah?
I want to talk to you, Rogue.
Well, you're talking.
I want you to come up here to Minden and do a little job for me. I don't want you to let anybody in this town know who you are. You can register at the hotel as a traveling man, a salesman or something, and
Hold it, McVeigh. I can't get away right now.
I wired you $500 expense money. It should be at your office now. Mm-hmm. We'll talk over the rest of the deal when you get here.
Oh, five bills, huh? Well, what kind of a case is it?
A case that pays money. You can get out of there at 7 o'clock, and if you want to take a train...
I'll drive. I'll leave as soon as the 500 arrive. Take me about 2 hours to get there, won't it?
That's right. I'll contact you at the hotel tonight about 9.
Okay. See you then.
Hey, boy, get me a paper, will you, please? Carry your bag, sir?
Oh, yeah. I want to check in. Here.
Thanks.
Hey, clerk.
Yes?
You got a room?
Well, I don't know.
No, I didn't ask the price, did I? I'll take anything from a broom closet to the bridal suite. Here, buy yourself a box of cigars to smoke while you're thinking it over.
Oh, thank you, sir. If you'll just register, I think we can take care of you.
Thanks. Have my bag sent up, will you? I'll pick up my key in a minute. Hey, Sonny, got an evening paper?
Yes, sir, but all the news isn't in that paper, mister. Believe me.
What do you mean?
There was a murder in town tonight. Just a little while ago, as a matter of fact, a man was shot, killed, dead.
All that? Well, Minden is an enterprising community. Who got the business?
A fellow by the name of Stark McVeigh.
We'll return to our story in just a moment, but first here's Jim Doyle to give you some smooth talk on a smooth subject.
Yes, smooth is the word for it, Dick. That describes Fitch's No Brush Shaving Cream to a T. For it has a rich, creamy consistency that spreads over your face like a cool April breeze. There's nothing heavy or greasy about Fitch's No Brush, yet it does a man-sized job when it comes to wilting a tough beard. You see, Fitch's No Brush is a blend of three important shaving ingredients. These are balanced in such a way that you get efficiency and softening whiskers, plus a skin conditioning action that protects your skin from irritation. Yes, they all add up to a shave that's really solid comfort.
You men who say there's nothing like lather for a swell, smooth shave will like Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives lots of dense lather that stays moist all during the shave and rinses off easily. It, too, contains the special skin conditioner for sensitive skins.
Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No Brush Shaving Cream come in handy jars, big 25 and 50 cent sizes. For smoother, happier shaves, switch to Fitch. And now we return you to Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Well, This case looked like it was officially over before it started. The man I was working for had just been killed. I found that out while I was registering in Menden's only hotel with running water. A bellboy gave me the news, and while I was just standing there with my mouth hanging open, a big, beefy guy eased up to me and said,
"You're Richard Rogue, aren't you?"
"Oh, my name's Richard."
"Yeah, I know you're Rogue. I've seen your picture in the paper too often to be mistaken. I want to talk to you."
"Why?"
"Because I'm chief of police in this town."
Well, you just want to have a social talk, huh?"
"Yeah, about a murder. Come on, Rogue, let's retire to the bar and play questions and answers."
"What about?"
"About what you're doing in town, among other things. Come on, get moving, big shot." "Suppose you start talking. What are you doing in Minden under the name of Richard?"
"Hey, bartender, you put too much sugar in this old-fashioned."
"Oh, so you think I like to hear myself talk. I said, what are you doing here?"
"I'm on a vacation."
"Does a man named Stark McVeigh always finance your vacations?"
"McVeigh. Yes, well, the name sounds familiar."
"I'll bet it does. He had a call in for you all day down at the city. He reached you at the Hunt Barroom a little before 5 o'clock, and he wired you $500 to your office this afternoon." "Maybe that's why his name sounds familiar."
"Huh? Could be that."
"Well, what was it that made McVeigh think he'd need you $500 worth, Rogue?"
"He didn't say." "Who was McVeigh, anyway? I never met the guy. Never heard of him till he called me."
"You think I'll believe that?"
"How do I know what you believe? I'm telling you the truth. That's all I can be sure of. And what's the idea of the pressure? You got ambitions to hang McVeigh's murder on me?"
"Uh-huh. You know he's been murdered. How did you know that?"
"Well, the bellboy told me."
"Who did it, Rogue? Who was McVeigh afraid of?"
"I don't know anything about the guy. I didn't murder him. I hardly ever murder strangers. And now, thanks for the drink and so long."
"Wait a minute. You leaving town, Rogue?"
"I don't think so, no. I like the climate here. It's so peaceful."
"Well, don't you leave without seeing me, or you'll come back with your hands cuffed behind you, lying down."
"Oh, well, if there's anything I love, it's a clever conversationalist."
"Huh? Huh?"
"Now, I'll make a rule, Egghead. Don't put any of your rural gumshoes on my tail if you like them personally. I don't like to be shattered." "Come in.
Here's your ice water, Mr. Rogue."
"The name is Richard."
"Skip it, skip it. I heard you talking to Chief Reese. I know who you were anyway."
"Oh, well, you're a smart lad, huh?" "Did you know Stark McVeigh?"
"Sure. He used to be around here quite a bit. In the bar."
"What was his racket? What did he do for a living? How long had he been living here in Menden?"
"Nobody knows where he made his money. He didn't work since he moved here about 2 years ago. Retired, I guess. That's what everybody thought. Always seemed to have plenty of money."
"Oh, he did, huh? Well, who were his friends? Was he married?"
"Look, if I'm going to answer all of those questions, I want to work on the case with you. You need somebody who knows the town. Now, I'm an ex-GI. I work with intelligence. I can be a big help to you."
"Okay. Okay, you're working. Now, was McVeigh married?"
"No. Didn't run around with women much either. I mean, here. Some blonde came down to see him once in a while. Drove a Cadillac convertible. Looked like a movie star."
"Did McVeigh make many trips? Was he, out of town much?"
"He traveled quite a bit."
"Did he have any enemies in town?"
"Nobody knew him well enough to hate him. He was a kind of a strangey, Mr. Rogue. Nobody got to know him very well."
"You live alone?"
"Yeah. He had a woman come in a couple of times a week to clean up. That's all."
"Good. Well, who do you think killed him?"
"I don't know."
"Any suspicious-looking characters been seen around town lately?"
"Not that I know of. But they could have been here without me knowing it."
"Okay. Hey, what's your name?"
"Buzz Walters."
"What time are you off duty?"
"About an hour, 9 o'clock.
"Good, I'll see you then. In the lobby, right?"
"Yeah. What are you going to do now?"
"Oh, I'm going out to the house, McVeigh's house, and take a look around."
"You know where it is?"
"I'll find it. See you at 9.
"Who is it?"
"Turn on the lights."
"Who is it? Is that you, Hank?"
"Yeah. Turn on the lights."
"Hey, you're not Hank. Who are you? What are you doing here?"
"Will you turn on the lights so we can talk this thing over, Junior?" Oh, you're the guy who bumped McVeigh, huh? Okay, Junior.
Stand right where you are.
And let you shoot at me? That doesn't sound practical. I've got my gun out now. How about taking another shot so I can spot you?
Who are you? The law? Oh!
Okay, Junior. Throw that gun away.
Don't shoot anymore. You hit me.
Let me hear that gun hit the wall. Throw it. Okay. Now, maybe we can talk. Keep your hands down to your sides.
Look, I'm shot. I'm bleeding. You gotta do something for me.
Later. First, Junior, you're going to answer some questions.
Did I startle you?
Huh?
Just hold that pause. Who is this guy, Shorty?
I don't know. He came in here and I thought it was you. I took a shot at him and... But he got me.
Yeah, I see. Well?
You better get somebody to take care of your friend here. He's got a bad chest.
Don't let that worry you. You're going to have worse before long. And we'll start you out like this.
Hiya, Rogie. Welcome home.
Oh, hello, Yugor. How's everything on Cloud 8?
Oh, it's fine. Say, Rogie, I missed you last week.
I had the flu. Didn't Dennis O'Keefe come up to see you?
Nah, not that Irishman. He doesn't use his head the way you do, Rogie. Say, who did it this time?
I don't know. But I'm gonna get him. If it's the last thing I do.
Oh, you better hurry back downstairs then. You're getting further away every minute.
Huh? Well, what do you mean?
You got a surprise coming, Rogie. You're a side door tourist right now.
Huh? Oh, well, that settles it. I'm going over the side. So long, Yugor.
So long, Rogie.
Come on, fella. Come out of it.
Huh? Oh. Hey. Hey, this thing's moving.
Sure, friend. It's okay. You're in a freight car.
Hmm? A freight car? Well,
it seems somebody wrapped you over the skull and threw you in here.
Ooh. Who?
I don't know. You were here when I got here. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the first aid. Where are we?
Well, about 10 miles out of Minden. This Red Ball got a hot box and was held up. We're on the big grade going into the mountains.
Yeah. Thanks. Hey, what do you got around my head?
Yeah, you were bleeding. I tore up your shirt and made a bandage of it.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm going to jump out of this thing.
Are you crazy?
Could be, yeah. Hey, look. Yeah, look, I've still got my wallet.
You have?
How come you didn't lift it?
I didn't think of it.
Oh, you're an honest man. Here's a 20. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, here goes nothing.
Hey, driver! Driver! Ride! Driver!
You going into Minden?
Yeah. What happened to you?
Well, I was knocked out and robbed and left on the road. I gotta get back to Minden to report it to the cops.
Okay, buddy. I wouldn't leave anybody out here. But I got a revolver here and don't try any funny stuff.
Me? I don't want to try anything. I just want to get back to Minden.
I'll take you into Minden. Get in.
Thanks. You can let me out here.
Oh, no. Just stay right where you are.
Hmm? Hey, what's the idea? Will you get that heater out of my face?
I'll tell you where to get out.
Oh? When will that be?
When we get to the police station. That's where you're going, mister. So I brought him in here to the police station, Chief. He looks suspicious to me.
Yeah, nice work, Mr. Pollard. We'll take care of him. Thanks.
I hope I did the right thing.
Yeah, you sure did. Thanks for the ride, Mr. Pollard. Goodbye.
You just go right ahead, Pollard. I'll see you later.
Oh, Chief.
Huh?
There's no reward, is there?
No. So long.
Oh, so long.
Well? Well, I see you're back, Rogue. I told you you'd get in trouble nosing around in this town. Now, you gonna talk?
Well, I haven't much to say, Reese. I went out to McVeigh's house. The door was open. I walked in. Some guy took a shot at me. I shot back.
Hmm?
Got him, and while I was trying to find out what it was all about, another guy sneaked up behind me and bent a rod over my head. I woke up in a freight train 10 miles out of town. This Pollard gave me a ride in. And that's the end of the story.
Yeah. Well, how do you figure it?
I don't know. But I want to get back out to that house. You coming with me?
Well, what do you expect to find out there? We combed the house from one end to the other.
Well, there's something going on in your charming little town that needs taken care of, Chief. And how come you don't have men at that house? There was a murder there a few hours ago.
Now, don't you tell me my business, Rogue.
Oh, something smells. Come on. Let's get out to McVeigh's house. I want to do a little combing myself.
Now, you'd better stay in line, Rogue. After all, I'm the chief here.
Yeah. I've read your star.
Do.
I don't know whether you're a dumb chief or a smart operator. But we're going to McVeigh's house, and we're going to tear it to pieces until I get a lead. Now, come on. I'll try the door. Don't knock, it may be open.
Okay. Mm. Well, close the door.
All right. Hmm. Now, the lights don't work. The main switch must be pulled.
We'll get by with this flashlight. Come on, let's take a look around.
Hmm. Hey.
Hmm?
You see where that lamp is on the floor over there?
Yeah.
Well, the guy who was shooting at me was lying right by the side of it after I got him.
Oh.
Look, there's blood on the floor. You see it?
What was that?
Seemed to come from that closet. Somebody's in there.
Well, come on out. Come on out, or I'll shoot that door so full of holes we can pull you out through them.
Okay. I'll come out.
Well, hello, Buzz. Welcome to the party.
What are you doing here?
Well, Mr. Rogue told me he was coming out here, and he was supposed to be back to meet me in the lobby at 9 o'clock. He didn't come back, so I decided I'd run out here and look for him.
You got here a little late, Buzz.
Oh, no, I didn't. Well, it was a little late to do you any good, but I saw plenty. I saw them walking around here.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, them?
Two men and a girl. The blonde girl that used to come here to see Mr. McVeigh.
Oh, you mean she was here?
Yep. I hid outside of the window and watched them. They were carrying stuff up from the basement. That is, the girl and this man were, and putting it in the car.
Buzz, did you hear them talk? Did the girl mention his name?
No, she just called him sweetheart or honey or something like that. There was something funny about the other guy.
What?
He never did come out. The other two came out, got into that Cadillac convertible, and drove away about 10 minutes ago.
Well, then there must still be a man in the house.
Yep, he'd been shot. He had trouble getting around.
It must have been the guy I shot.
I've been looking for him.
Well, why didn't you call me?
I was working for Mr. Rogue. Huh? I know he'd be here.
Oh, good boy, Buzz. Now, come on, let's shake this house down. If that thug is in here, we better find him before he finds us. Wow, this is the best kept basement I ever saw in a bachelor's house, Buzz. How about it?
It's sure clean.
Hmm. Hey, look. There are a few muddy footsteps going this way.
They're going both ways, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah, right over here and then back out. That's funny. They walk right up to this blank wall and then back again.
Maybe the stuff they were carrying out of the basement was stacked up against the wall.
I doubt it.
Hey, there's nobody up here.
Shook down every room, every closet up here. There's nobody.
Well, we're even. There's nobody down here either.
I tell you, that guy they call Shorty never came out of the house. I was watching and I know he didn't.
You're imagining things, kid. People don't just disappear. If he was here, we could see him now, couldn't we?
If we could find him. I've got an idea.
Yeah?
Well, there must be a hidden door or something in this wall here someplace.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Rogie.
Okay. So I've been reading too many comic books, but I'm making my guess, and I'm going to see if I'm right. You see these footprints coming over here and going back again?
Yeah. That's
what it is. Maybe there's a loose tile in the wall or something.
Yeah. Listen now. There it is, Reese, you diehard. You hear that? It's hollow in there. Now, come on, let's figure this thing out.
Hey, here is a loose tile, right here.
Huh? Let me see. Yeah.
Well, I'll be...
Are you sure you're surprised, Sheriff?
Why, I...
There's a regular doorknob in there.
Yeah, there is.
Well, it's locked, but I think I can take care of that. Look out. Now, that ought to do it. Flash your light in there, Reese.
Okay.
Oh, brother, look at that.
Huh? Hey, he's dead.
We'll return to our story in just a moment. But now I'd like to ask the ladies a question. Have you ever had the shampoo blues? The shampoo blues, of course, is that dejected feeling you get when your hair becomes dry and unmanageable after a shampoo. If that's been your experience, then here's a way to beat those blues. Try Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo. Use this clear, golden liquid shampoo as often as you like. It will never leave your hair dry or difficult to manage. That's because Fitch's Saponified Shampoo is made from pure, natural oils. Just a little makes oceans of cleansing lather. Rinses out easily, too, for Fitch's Saponified Shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent. It leaves your hair soft, lustrous, and easy to manage even right after you shampoo it. Yes, you can always use Fitch's Saponified Shampoo with complete confidence and freedom from the shampoo blues. So use it regularly. Buy an economical bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter, or ask for a professional application at your beauty shop. Now we return to Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Well, you could have knocked me down with an atom bomb when we opened that secret door in the basement of McVeigh's house and saw what was inside. It was an air-conditioned room with fluorescent lighting and strictly occupational furniture. And sitting at the table in the swivel chair was the body of the man named Shorty. Buzz, the bellboy, said,
"Hey, he's dead."
Yeah, they let him have one. Right through the temple.
Good Lord. Two murders in one day in Minden.
That'll put the place on the map, won't it?
I wonder why they killed him.
Well, it looks pretty simple to me. I got him through the chest when he shot at me. And a wounded man is kind of a handicap to a mob that's trying to make a getaway with a set of counterfeit plates.
Counterfeit? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah. This place is one of the best equipped engraving shops I've ever been in. You knew that right away, didn't you, Reese?
Sure.
Right there. That's what McVeigh's racket was, huh?
Yeah. Come on, let's take a look around.
Here. Look here.
What did you find?
Exhibit A. A whole stack of $10 bills.
Let me see.
Yeah.
All with the same serial numbers. Oh, there's Phoney's, of course, girl's accent. Well, Reese, let's get back to town and get some post-mortem fingerprints off your late pal, McVeigh. And some information on the license number Buzz got off that Cadillac.
Do you think we'll get him, Mr. Rogue?
Oh, we're a lead pipe cinch, Buzz. You know, if you hadn't been sharp enough to jot down that license number, we'd have been out of luck.
Even Reese can trace that.
Yeah, think you could use a guy like me. Regular Mr. Rogue?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, kid. I'm a lone wolf. But you'll make some dough out of this case. You can bet your shirt there's a reward out for this mob, and we'll split it. You know, Junior, if you hadn't been around that house and seen those two drive away without Shorty, this crime may have never been solved.
That's right, I guess. Nobody would ever have looked for the secret room. You know, I've always wanted to be a detective.
Well, Rogie, the Department of Motor Vehicles says this is the address that car's registered to. Miss Sylvia Adams, 1924 Euclid Avenue in Los Angeles.
Well, that makes it my meet, Reese.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Buzz. You want to drive to L.A. with me?
Sure, Mr. Rogue. I want to be in at the kill on this case.
Well, this is the house. Oh. Miss Sylvia Adams, 1924 Euclid Avenue.
What are we going to do?
Well, first you go see if the car's in the garage while I take a look around.
Okay.
Hey, Buzz. Come here. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Hey, look in that window out there. Mm-hmm. That man. He's the one who knocked me out. Hmm. Oh, is that the man and the blonde woman you saw leaving McVeigh's house?
Yep. That's them.
Looks like they're having a beef. Ah, that's good. Buzz, we're going to do a little listening.
Oh, how are you going to get in?
Back door. Come on.
But it's probably locked.
Yeah, could be. But if I haven't a skeleton key on my chain that'll open that door, I'm going to get a new locksmith. Now, quiet. Come on.
You didn't have to kill them both, Hank. You're a trigger-happy fool.
Will you stop harping on that? They're dead. That's all there is to it. We're rid of them, and we got the counterfeit plates. We got no more troubles, baby. From now on, it's you and me.
It is?
What do you mean?
Just that I don't have to put up with you anymore, either. One word out of me, and the cops will put you under the jail, Hank. That's what they do with killers, you know? I don't like you. I never did like you. But you're going to keep me in money and minks and everything I want as long as I live. Killer.
It may not be long, you little double-crossing.
Hank, put that gun away. Hank, no.
So you were going to double-cross
no.
me?
Hank, no.
So all that sweet talk was just an act?
No.
Well, here's my act, baby.
No.
Excellent Dutch ride, Hank. Drop the gun. Pick it up, Buzz.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Well, now, that's not very flattering. I'm Richard Rogue. But we'll talk about that later, lovely. Right now, get up against that wall, both of you. Start singing and make the lyrics cover a couple of murders. Come on, sing! Well, that was the end of that story. It all happened over a woman, almost everything does. When I got through chatting with Sylvia, I had the whole story. McVeigh and Hank had a sweet little counterfeiting deal all set up and running smoothly. McVeigh, a master engraver, made the plates and hand-printed them in his shop in Minden. Hank wholesaled the stuff. Everything was just too divine. Until Hank moved in on McVeigh's girl, Sylvia, and got caught at it. McVeigh wanted to hire me to front for him in exposing Hank as a counterfeiter, and that's what started all of the excitement and the murders. We found the counterfeiting plate in Sylvia's Cadillac, and I collected $5,000 reward for cracking the case. I split it with Buzz. He was a happy kid. Yes, well, as I've always said, cherche la femme, to coin a phrase. It means find the woman. And by the way, if you have any luck, cherche one for me too, will you? I'm feeling much better and not doing a thing tonight. You know what I mean. Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed our story tonight. Ray Buffum wrote it. Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and Dee Engelbach produced and directed. But don't forget now, you've all got a date with us next Thursday night. We have a story for you about a man with $1 million, a beautiful wife, and an overpowering jealousy. We call it Best Laid Plans. So make a date with us, will you? Thanks for listening, and now here's Jim Doyle.
Don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time. And be sure to see Dick Powell in his newest RKO picture, Cornered, at your local theater soon. And remember, tune in again next Thursday, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. It's the only shampoo made whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance firms. No other shampoo can make this statement. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, barber or beauty shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Case closed for this week, but the old-time radio continues at RelicRadio.com. Find more old-time radio there. You can find the website for this show at RelicRadio.com/case closed. RelicRadio.com also has links to our forum, which you're welcome to join. Our listener community, our live stream, everything else can be found there. You can email me at RelicRadio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. I'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.